Can we get a roll call?
Member DeGasis.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member King.
Aye.
Chair Branch.
Aye.
Thank you.
Very good. That will take us to our first item today. Item B1, Linda.
Okay. Item B1 is conceptual, preliminary, and final review. It's the Lita Hotel signage located at 5650 Cali Real, APN 069160042, case number 220011DRB and 220019ZC.
Very good. Has everybody visited the site? Martha?
Yes, I made a site visit and I have no ex parte discussion.
Okay, very good. Jim?
Yes, I've been there. I visited, no ex parte.
Very good. Jonathan?
I've visited, no ex parte conversations.
Very good. I did go there and no ex parte. So, with that, Travis, the floor is yours.
Excuse me. Thank you, Chair Branch. Can everyone see the plans that I'm sharing? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the board. My name is Travis Lee, and I'm the planner for this project for the Lita Hotel sign reface located at 5650 Calle Real. This is a request for a conceptual, preliminary, and final review to reface the existing legal nonconforming illuminated monument sign, approximately 144 inches wide and 84.75 inches tall, with 1/8 of an inch aluminum faces on one square pole with the Lita Hotel. Bottom from the grade to the top of the sign is 25 feet tall. Applicant is here to answer any question, and so is staff. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Does the applicant want to tell us about it?
Chair Branch, it looks like the applicant is not on the meeting, and perhaps the board would like to discuss the item.
He's here. Nathan from West Coast Signs is
down.
Hello.
We had Barry down. Okay, thank you.
Oh.
Are we good now?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so basically this was acquired by Hilton Hotel, and we're doing nothing more, nothing less than requesting approval to replace the existing aluminum faces that are routed out and backed with acrylic with the same concept, different color scheme, obviously different logo, and repainting of the existing metal frame and pole to go along to match the color of the new sign faces.
Okay. Pretty straightforward. All right, we'll combine questions and comments. So, Jim, you seem to be at the top there on my screen, so we'll start with you. Can you hear me? Jim, can you hear me? Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
I hear you.
Okay.
I can hear you.
I didn't know if my microphone was off. Martha, we'll start with you.
I have no comments other than it looks very nice and I have no questions.
Okay. Jonathan?
No questions. I like the logo and I like the little bit of ocean feel at the very bottom there.
Great. Great. Okay. Let's see. Is Jim back at all, or did he?
What?
Okay, Jim, any comments on the sign here?
No, none.
Okay, I have no comments. I think it's fine and appropriate. Let's see. How about someone want to make a motion on this?
Is there public comment on this item before we proceed?
Oh, right. Thank you.
Would any attendee who wants to speak on this item, item B1, please click on the hand raise icon now. No, Chair Bramps, there's no one here this time.
Okay, then with that, how about a motion?
Accept the application, subject to any findings.
That's okay, for final approval?
For final approval, yes.
Okay, great, can I get a second?
Second.
Okay, and any discussion? Very good. Roll call, Linda.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Einman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Motion passes. Okay, very good. That will take us to item B2.
Thank you.
Item B2 is conceptual, preliminary, and final review. It's the red wire signage located at 153 Castilian Drive, APN 073-150-011, case number 220012ZC and 220006DRB.
Okay, site visits, Jonathan?
Site visit, no ex parte conversations.
Martha?
Virtual site visit and no ex parte.
Jim?
Two site visits, no ex parte.
And I did a virtual site visit with no ex parte. So that, Travis, welcome back. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Branch and members of the board. The project before you this afternoon is the red wire signage change located at 153 Castilian Drive in Goleta, right around the corner from City Hall. The project proposes one non-illuminated replacement wall sign, approximately 168 inches wide and 45.8 inches tall, with 17.94 inch tall letters and a 45.8 inch diameter logo. For a business name change, total sign square footage is 53.43 square feet. Project is located in the inland zone and has a general plan land use and zoning designation business park. Staff is available for any questions. I do not believe the applicant is here, but I believe we can still continue.
Okay. You want to proceed through the sign then? That's fine.
So on the second slide, the plans show that the existing sign is this DSS logo with the circle, and the new logo is below with the red wire and the 48 inch diameter logo,
mm-hmm.
and in the exact same place and approximately the same size.
And it's just painted on?
Yes, it's painted on and non-illuminated.
Pretty simple. Okay.
All painted acrylic letters, but and slightly raised.
Got it. Okay. That's pretty straightforward. Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah, got it.
Any questions?
No, I think pretty simple. Okay, so the applicant's not here. So again, we'll combine questions and comments. Martha?
I have no questions, and the comment I have is that it looks very good.
Okay, great. Jim?
No, I have no comments.
Okay, Jonathan?
No questions, comments. I think it's a nice clean design and not that much different in some regards to what was there before, so easy to accept.
I concur. It's totally acceptable. So how about a motion on this one?
Would any person who wishes to speak on this item please click on the hand raise icon now? No, Chair Branch, there's no one at this time.
Okay. Now how about a motion?
I'll make a motion that the sign be approved with the staff findings.
Perfect.
Second.
And a second by Jim. That's perfect. Any discussion? All right, roll call, please, Linda.
Member DeGasis.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member King.
Aye.
Chair Branch.
Aye. Motion passes. Very good.
Thank you.
Item B3 got continued, so that will take us to item B4.
Item B4 is for conceptual preliminary and final review. It's the Geisy Edition, located at 200 Cannon Green Drive, APN 073-221-041, case number 210020 LUP.
Very good. Site visits. Jim?
Yes, I have been there once and been by it many times. I live right around the corner. No ex parte.
Okay. Martha?
A virtual site visit and no ex parte.
Jonathan?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
And I had a virtual site visit with no ex parte as well. So with that, Christina, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon, members of the DRB. Today, the project in front of you is a residential addition to the address at 200 Cannon Green Drive. 200 Cannon Green is the lot is approximately 9,100 square feet. It's located on the corner of Hollister and Cannon Green. The existing residence is approximately 1,100 square feet, single-story residence. The proposed project in front of you includes a 746 square foot first-story addition, as well as a brand new second-story addition of 686 square feet. The resulting project would be an approximately 3,000 square foot residence. There's also a little minor, there's some changes also to the front porch area as well, and included in this project are the removal of two fruit trees in the backyard. Of interest, this zone does have a maximum lot area of 30%. I just wanted to point out that this project is 27% of that, so it does meet that zoning criteria. It does meet all the rest of the zoning criteria in our ordinance, and I do believe the applicant is here to present their project. Should you have any questions of staff, I'm available, and with that, I'd like to turn it over to the applicant.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Oh, hello, my name is Amy Von Protz. I'm the designer for this project. I'm sitting here tonight, this afternoon, with the owners, Kiri and Micaiah. Our project with Christina is at the corner of lot of Cannon Green and Hollister. The project is at square foot to the front of residence, single level, as well as to enhance the current entry to provide additional curb appeal. At the rear of the residence, we're asking for additional square feet on the main level and the second floor, connected by an interior access spiral stairs and a new pergola. The factors that influence our design is right now the house, we like to break up the high ridge and massive gable ends. What's really important to us about this project is it be compatible with the neighborhood. And if you've looked at the other houses in the neighborhood, many of them are already two stories, and we have provided photos to this to justify this. Also, our addition meets all the setbacks, and it has been designed to be, if I may say, heavy on the Hollister side. We've met all our setbacks, and we've tried to keep the addition away from any neighbors. The neighbors to the south, they are would be approximately 20 plus or minus 25 feet from our addition. And since we're making our 25 feet rear setback, the neighbors behind us would have their 25 foot rear setback plus. So you can see that we are really, really trying to be look at their needs for our project. Also, with when you go to the elevations, we only have one second story window facing the south neighbor. As far as the screen to Hollister, currently the owners have a 6 foot high site wall, which is what we want to remain. And as far as landscaping, the owners have two small children and like to retain as much yard as possible. At the street facing elevation, currently it is heavily planted and will remain. I think this concludes. Do you have anything you want to add?
Okay. Very good. Thank you. All right. Well, then, with that, let's go to any questions that you might have for the applicant. Jonathan?
No questions. Thank you.
Okay, Jim?
Am I correct in assuming that this garage, which is now a two-car garage, will not be altered in any way?
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, thank you.
Martha?
I have no questions at this moment.
Okay. I have no questions myself. So let's move to comments. Jonathan, how do you feel about this?
I like the project, especially since the garage is being retained. It seems like parking often becomes a problem in the community. And so there was a loss of parking capacity that would concern me, but I'm pretty happy with what I'm seeing.
Very good. Jim?
No, I have no comments, thank you.
Okay, Martha?
I think the use of the materials is very pleasing, and not being an architect, I will defer to Chair Branch on some of the issues, but it seems like there's a couple places where the eave is discontinuous, and maybe it just looks a little bit peculiar in the flat elevations, and in a model it would look great, but I was just looking on the west elevation, there's like one of the eaves is kind of cut off, but that might just be me not understanding the nature of the construction. And I like the hardy board siding. There is one segment where the hardy board, I guess it's a building projection where it looks discontinuous on the north elevation, but I think that's just a projection that's behind the forward north elevation where the stairwell is. But all in all, I think it looks rather nice, and I think it's an improvement on the rather peculiar elevations of the existing residence. So I think it's commendable.
Okay. I have just a couple of comments. The first is, you've got the master on, I guess, go back to the floor plan. This will tie into the elevation. So on the upper level, so you've got the master, first of all, you're putting a playroom above your master. Have you people lost your minds? Do you not want to sleep ever? The playroom, let me get my, So north. So the east side of the playroom, which is cantilevered over the backyard. That's a great sized playroom. And I'm going to suggest something that from a plan standpoint sort of doesn't make sense, but from an elevation standpoint will make sense. And I guess we need to go back to the elevations. Overall, I think this is fine. To the comment Martha talked about on the west elevation, I think she's talking about that little window above the existing roof where the rake comes down. I think it would probably extend a little bit over that roof. Do you get what I'm saying, Amy?
I do.
I think that would be important to have to kind of make the consistency. But what I was going to say is I really like the idea of the siding on the cantilevered portion. It makes it feel kind of like a box out, a bay, if you will. The only problem that I have with it is on the north elevation, the siding meets the stucco and is in plane with it. And I think it would look better if you bumped it back a foot, pushed it back a foot so that the planes break, and then the roof would shed down over that. So you'd get an eave break on the north elevation as well. Now I realize that puts a 12-inch gap in your bedroom. It's not a deal killer for me, but I think it's always wise to change planes when you're changing materials.
I appreciate that.
What if we just not?
But I like I like how that the window that you have in the playroom is kind of centered in that mass, and on that, if you did that, then on that east elevation, you're also going to see just a little bit of stucco on the right side of that box out. I don't know. I think that helps it, and I think that wouldn't be as much an issue for me if it wasn't right up against Hollister. I think you're gonna see. I don't know. A nerd like me would notice that, but it's something I think you should consider. And I only suggest that because the room is already, quite spacious. I don't think it would hurt the functionality of that room. But that's really my only comment. Other than that, I think you've made some great choices here, and I think it'll be a nice addition.
Thank you.
So let's see. This is under conceptual preliminary and final. So let me ask you this. You have the owners there. How do you feel about my suggestion of that back part? How cranky does that make you?
If you were saying the siding was a factor that you would see on Hollister, I recommend that maybe we just do that whole sidewall stucco and not have the siding wrap around, so it doesn't also push it back to 12 inches. And so it's more consistent.
So let's see, can we go back to the elevations? So in other words, eliminate the siding altogether?
No, just the siding on the, that wraps around it, you're facing the Hollister. So the bumped up, the north. So instead of having the siding right there, that 2 feet out, it would just be stucco and it would just end.
Oh no, I got you. That's worse. That's worse. I'd rather take the 2 foot wraparound where it ends at the solid wall. It's not something I'm gonna dig my heels in on. by any means. If that's something you guys really don't want to do, I'm fine with that. But it's just, you know, generally it's nice to change planes when you change materials, but the fact you're at least wrapping back a couple of feet before the material ends, I can live with that if that's something you guys want. I think it'll still read okay. It's just the purist in me suggesting that. So all right, then Martha?
I just have another quick question. And what is the extension of that cantilever? How many feet is that?
Could you please go to the floor plan? In the back, on top left, right there in the corner, right up, yeah.
Two six.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was just my thinking or thought was, should there be some kind of corbel or some transition under there? Or I'm going to again defer to Chairman Branch because I'm not an architect. But
it would look okay, but there's not. It doesn't look like the house has any outriggers or anything like that on anything else. So I think it's certainly something they could do if they wanted to add detail, but I don't think it's necessary per se. Personally, that's my take on it.
Are there any elevations or architectural drawings of the trellis, proposed trellis?
Right now, if you go to the exterior elevations 3.0, right now we haven't really, if you look at the south elevation, we haven't really progressed that right yet. But if you look at the south and east, we haven't made the final decisions on the trellis yet.
I see it now. Yeah.
It's also on the east, left side of the east.
Oh, yes. Okay. And so for final, would there not need to be some more detailing?
I forget. Are there detail sheets here yet or no?
No, they're not. We haven't taken it to structural yet.
Okay. Well, you don't need structural details, but it'd be good to see. We'd like to see, you know, typical eave, rake, and particularly the, you know, the railings, the stair railings that you're going to clad in the siding. It'd be nice to see, you know, the underside, how you're going to terminate the siding as it meets the underside of that soffit. And I'll obviously be keenly aware of how you terminate the siding as it meets the flush stucco adjacent to it. But this is all in all, this is a handsome addition. I guess a question for Mary, or for staff, I suppose. There's certainly more than conceptual here. Can we recommend approval for preliminary so that they're at the appeal point and kind of locks them in, and then do a final review after that?
Thank you, Chair Branch. I can answer that question for this project. Yes, if it's the desire of the board to give them conceptual approval today, which does start the appeal period, a 10-day appeal period, that's fine. And then they would need to come back for their final approval with the details.
Okay.
Chair Branch?
Yeah, Jonathan?
I'm just wondering about the exterior lighting. Is that conforming with our dark sky expectations? It looks like those are on either side of the garage, is that correct?
Yes, those are existing that have been on the house. So we're keeping with
that's those are existing lights?
Yeah, and then we're just keeping that design.
with the
existing addition. No proposed change to those?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
How does the, well.
Chair Branch.
Yeah.
Pardon the interruption, but actually I did forget to mention about the public comments that we've received for these projects, for this project.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. We received a public comment from Ms. Cohen, a neighbor in this neighborhood, and another public comment from Mr. Burke and Ms. and Mr. Frank Felkner. Those were listed posted to our website this afternoon. They're generally expressing favor of the project.
I saw the one in the posted online with our project and our staff report that was in favor by Cohen, I believe. So I read that one, but I hadn't seen the other two.
Yeah, so. The other two was two total. The second one was signed by three people.
Okay, and they're all in favor of the project?
Correct.
Correct.
They provided written statements saying that they were in support of the project.
Got it. Okay, great.
Chair Branch, this is Mary. Can you hear me?
Yes, quite well.
Hi there. So I wanted to mention that at this level, it is a preliminary approval action. And if you want to see the project back for final details, that's fine. If you feel the final details can be done at conformance review, that's also an option.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I guess I would be willing to, since all the details would be architectural and that kind of falls under my purview, I would be okay looking at those. If the board's all right with that. That would allow us, I suppose, to make a motion and not continue. So before we get there, Linda, are there any other public comments?
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the raise hand icon now? No, Chair Branch.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's see. Does someone want to take a stab at a motion here?
I move that we approve the project as presented with the changes suggested to be reviewed by the DRB architectural board member, along with the staff findings.
Okay. So approval, a final approval with a conformance review of the details. Got it. Okay.
I second that.
And a second by Jonathan. Any discussion? Okay, could we have roll call?
Member Degasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Okay, that will take us down to our preliminary calendar. Item C1.
The item C1 is the Elwood RV boat and contractor storage use located at 35 Elwood Station Road, APN 079-210-066, case number 20-0003-CUP.
Okay, very good. Let's see. Site visits, Martha?
Virtual only and no ex parte discussion.
Great. Jonathan?
Virtual and no ex parte discussion.
Jim?
One site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. Virtual and no ex parte for me on this one as well. So with that, Dr. Highfield, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Branch. Good afternoon, everyone. So this is a request for preliminary review of this project at 35 Elwood Station. The project is for outdoor storage of RV boat contractor storage use. The Design Review Board completed conceptual review of this project back on August 24th of 2021. And the project, the DRB's review is a part of a conditional use permit application that will ultimately be reviewed and considered by the Planning Commission. So today, your recommendation of preliminary review, it will be included as part of the Planning Commission's review at a future date. And so again, you know, we're looking at, just like always, design-related items of the project. Highlights of the project are, they are going to be resurfacing the site with mostly pervious surfaces, some impervious. Not a ton of grading overall. It's a rather large site. No export or import is needed to achieve the grades that they need. They're remodeling an existing building that's on the site into storage and a restroom. They're also abandoning the septic system that's a part of the existing restroom there and connecting that building to the sewer. Other than that, it's basically just a open outdoor storage or RV boat or contractor storage. In the staff report, I summarized the discussion that happened back in August of last year. and so today, the applicant is here to kind of present how the current plan addresses those comments. Some housekeeping, we did receive a number of written comments on the project. I included the comments that were received prior to the August meeting, as well as ones that were received since then. And I think that there may be at least one person wishing to speak on the item here today. So when it's appropriate, they can have that opportunity. And with that, I can turn it over to Galray, the applicant, to present the plans.
Okay, very good. Galray, the floor is yours.
Hi, thank you, Brian. That was great. And members of the board, my name is Galray Macon, and I'm here representing the applicant. If you could also add Greg Mendoza, the landscape architect, to be able to present. He'll be presenting all the landscaping changes. That was sort of the bulk of the comments. And since you've seen this before, I was going to focus on how we address the comments from the last meeting.
That's preferable.
Great. so I'll leave the landscaping items for Greg, but I wanted to talk about the one of the items was study the security of the underground pit structures, and there's a structural engineering plan sheet, this one, correct, that added metal joists with roofing over the existing concrete storage vaults. So that should protect it, but still provide access for maintenance. Consider solar energy for the project. The perimeter lighting will be solar powered. They considered adding solar panels, but the structure, the one remaining structure that's being rehabbed, is the surface area is just very small, and it wouldn't really provide much energy. The project itself doesn't require much energy anyway. And they looked at maybe adding some carports, but it just doesn't allow for the type of storage that's going to be provided at this property. There was a comment about queuing at the front gate, and I wasn't quite sure what that comment was, and I'm here for follow-up questions, but there's really no anticipated queuing for the project. I think the comment was about the width of the apron. And we did prepare a little overlay to show the sort of truck radius turns and potential for a parking space to go in the front. We didn't provide it in time, but if your board allows, I think Brian does have it available. You can share it if you want to see that. But that can explain the width of the apron and why it's preferable.
Okay.
And then I think the rest of the comments are related to the landscaping. So if Greg is available, I'll let him.
Hillary, before we go to landscaping, did you want to present the lighting details for the security lighting?
Did you include that with the package, Brian?
Yes.
So here's, and it would be, you know, this or appropriate equivalent, but it's a motion sensor directed downward solar light that would be affixed to the poles. And this would just be for security reasons.
And so it would only come on via motion, somebody pulls in and it goes on, otherwise it's not on?
Correct, and it would only be triggered at, in the areas that that there's motion. So. Okay. Brian?
And generally, the security lighting is located around the perimeter, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Got it, I can see it there.
Okay, I can go to the landscape sheets if we're ready for that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Did you want to start with this one, or which one did you want to start with?
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Okay.
So a couple of our comments that we had on the landscape regarding screening of views from the Highway 101 side and Calle Real. And so we did some further investigation into that and looked at the view corridors. And what you see along the north edge there is screening of olive trees and Rhamnus alaternus that'll grow up to a height, you know, between 10 to 15 feet to provide some increased, you know, reduction in the visibility of cars and trucks and RVs that are parked in this area. Just to give a buffer there. There is also, from any view that you would see, the closest view would be 350 feet, and that's to the 101. And across the Calle Real is 430 feet. So just for reference. In the pictures along the top there, you can see the red areas are the views where you can actually see our site. And that is a representation of the heights that there might be storage equipment and containers or RVs in there. So those little slivers are what would be possibly visible. And then our buffering of trees and plantings would fill in those gaps. Our comment, we had comment number 10 as well, was on the visibility as well, to reduce the color and remove the bougainvillea. We did take that off the plans, again, replaced it with olives and Rhamnus alaternus. And for security, we added in the native rose and native ivies as requested by the board. So those will be planted along the perimeter. And then, let's see, the tree screening. Our fence along the perimeter was previously 6 foot. That has been raised to 8 foot. So it's a 6 foot chain link fence, and then with a 2 foot wire along the top for security. And then that is with the lighting for security as well. The entry has not changed. Entry wall and the planting has stayed the same. Only the planting along the perimeter for screening has changed since the last time we came. And for the landscape, that's about it.
Okay.
So with that, we are here, including the applicant, if there's any questions.
Great. And so after this, you guys go to Planning Commission, is that right?
Yes, very exciting.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, any questions from the board about this? Jim?
No questions.
Jonathan?
No questions.
Martha?
I have a couple of questions. So it looks, from what I can tell, that the perimeter fencing is chain link and it has some strands of barbed wire. Is that what I'm seeing?
That is correct.
Okay, and so the landscaping that does not extend along the whole perimeter of the fence, that's only placed where the view proposed or projected view quarters from the streets and the highways are, will be covering that. But the rest of the area of that chain link fence, which granted is not visible from any public way, will be exposed. Is that right?
It will have plantings of the native rose and the ribes along it. Okay. So, you know, right. Something in there, trying to prevent people from getting in there, and they'll find out really quick that it's not a good place to be.
Yeah. So that rose is going to cover that fence and up to the barbed wire probably, or mostly in time. Yeah. And then my other question sort of related to that is, so the lighting standards that are along the perimeter there by the adjacent use, not the one, well, both areas. So the landscape screening is not going to provide any screening. I understand there won't be any trespass per se of the lighting on the property line, but
right.
Will there be any landscape screening that might help mitigate any of that light over? Well, I guess there's an operational question as well, is will the facility be open during night hours such that those lights might come on and bother the neighbors at all?
I can handle that question. We don't know yet exactly what conditions of approval the Planning Commission will impose. I can say just from past experience, it's not atypical for the Planning Commission to restrict hours of operation for a use similar to this. So, you know, it's possible that there may end up being some conditions, likely over in the overnight hours, that it not be open. But again, you know, to be determined by the Planning Commission when the conditional use permit goes in front of them.
And if I can add, the applicant is really only looking to be open during sunlight hours.
That answers that question. And then you said you had a turning radius exhibit that would justify the large apron in the front, because it does seem like a lot of paving.
Yes, we do.
It would be at the wish of the board to accept. It wasn't in the original package that got noticed, so it would have to be the board would have to decide to add that to today's presentation.
It's just a turning, the dimensions are all the same. It's just a turning radius has been added to it.
Yes.
That's fine.
Okay. There we go.
See, here is in the red would be a truck entering, because we are looking at having storage containers in here. So we're looking at, okay, what is the largest truck that could possibly be bringing us, you know, 20 or a 40 foot storage container into this facility. So red would be in, and then the gray line would be the exit. So you can see why we have as wide of an apron at the sidewalk as we do. And then the two additional just area there for walk-up parking, because we do have a man gate that somebody can park, walk in, grab something, and then come back out.
Got it. Okay.
Or queue as, you know, coming in and out. This is, yeah.
Yeah, the queue thing I kind of don't understand. It's like when you pull up, you open the gate and drive through. So I don't anticipate a lot of queuing there.
We just wanted them to not be blocking the street when they're waiting to get into the gate.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that would be a Public Works, standard, that if there is a rolling gate, you know, that there be enough room for a vehicle to queue off the public right of way while the gate is opening.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Okay. Sorry. So Martha, did you have any other questions or?
Question or no, I'll have a comment though.
All right. Well, I don't have any questions, so why don't you go ahead?
So my comment is that extra paving is basically providing two parking spaces that if indeed a truck were coming out, how likely is a visitor to park there and wait? And or if people are storing things, it seems unlikely that someone's going to walk into the site. I mean, depending on what's being stored, but my understanding is it's large containers and vehicles. So how likely is somebody going to need that space to park in? And my concern is just having more landscape and less paved area. And again, given what the adjacent use is right there, maybe it's not that important and it will be low maintenance, but it seems like that's a big apron for who knows.
And member DeGasis, I can add some background to that as well. From a zoning standpoint, specifically parking, the zoning ordinance does not have a minimum number of parking spaces for this particular use. It's at the discretion of the decision maker, which is Planning Commission in this case. And so again, it'll be to be determined how many parking spaces they're going to want to see. Currently, the applicant is proposing, aside from the diagram that you were looking at with the turning movements, they're proposing three spaces around the bathroom, two of which are parallel, and one is an accessible space. And that's just inside the gate. That's currently how the improvement plan is drawn. But as you can see, like you're saying, there is the wide apron here that could potentially allow for a couple more spaces near the walk-in gate.
Is that proposed apron permeable?
It is, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
If I can add, there's also a lot of pick up and drop off, and also there's a trash enclosure for other trash pickup. I mean, it's sort of usable space that this operator has several other facilities as well, and sees that as a need for the project to have that additional space in the front for those other uses.
Just say or add one more thing then. If indeed that space requires to be paved, is it possible that there could be a strip of planting where some vines or something might be grown against the wall, or some pockets or something, just to ameliorate that expansive bare wall? That would be a suggestion or a comment.
You're talking to the left of the walk-in gate here?
Correct. I don't think that would impede potential parking there if there mm-hmm. was a smaller, maybe a couple wheel stops or something like that.
The applicant is fine with that, Martha.
Okay. All right, anything else, Martha? That's it. Jim, any comments?
No, I don't have any comments.
Okay, Jonathan?
I like Martha's suggestion of some plantings along that big wall, but I also appreciate being able to park outside and use the man gate. There are people who just want to go into there, because there would be, I think, possibly some RVs stored there, and they simply want to go in briefly, do something inside their RV, you know, drop off a few items or pick up some items or open the vent or something, and it might be nice for them to not have to drive in there and find a place to park inside the facility, just leave their car out, walk in, take care of some quick business and leave. So I don't have a problem with a large apron, but I would agree a little planting on that large bare wall would be nice and make it a little cooler in appearance and in experience, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My only comment is I guess I would agree with that. A couple of vine pockets there would be great. Other than that, I don't have any other comments on the project. I think we can support this as it goes to Planning Commission. So.
Right.
It's here for preliminary. Do we need to make a motion on it, or just is this just comments?
Yes, you would need to make a motion.
Okay.
That will be included to the Planning Commission, but you'll want to do public comment before that.
I was going to get to that.
Would
are there any other public comments?
Please click on the raise hand icon now. We were expecting someone. Okay. Irene Russo.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
First of all, that picture right there, I'm a 20-year resident of Elwood Station Road, and I've put at least $200,000 into my home, which is why I'm vocal about this project. That picture that's on the screen is so unrealistic. The cement plant, the actual footpath right there is about as much space as that's in front of the cement plant wall. And that space is for cars. We have 100 families on a quarter mile cul-de-sac that need the overflow parking on Elwood Station Road. So this project would be affecting 100 families. So this project would take up at least 25% of the parking on Elwood Station Road used by the condominiums of about 20 families and the mobile home park of about 80. At the last meeting I went to, there were I was told that there would be 50 to 60 trucks pulling boats, construction storage containers, construction equipment, and RVs going up and down Hollister Avenue and Elwood Station Road every day. That's a ridiculous amount of traffic. We barely can handle the neighborhood. The railroad is behind this, so I don't have any faith that there will be any stopping this project, but it will affect our neighborhood seriously. I was the one that got the petition of 35 neighbors that were opposed to this project. And on the design review board statement, it says that there's no CEQA necessary for this project because it doesn't affect the environment. Of course, people are not the environment. They must be talking about chipmunks or squirrels or skunks, I don't know. But a member of the Environmental Defense Center came when they took down a whole grove of eucalyptus trees, and they said that would not affect the environment. However, there were nests on the ground, so it is an effect on the environment. Also, we're talking about a cement plant that has hazardous waste. It's been a hazardous waste plant for at least 50 years, and there's stuff, I have pictures of sumps in the ground of material that could be considered hazardous. So my request is we have a CEQA analysis, a detailed one, and a traffic study. Somebody doing a traffic study, which I was told, or it was said at the last meeting a year ago, that a traffic study was going to be done. We don't need a 250 space storage area in our neighborhood. We already have 100 families, and that's enough. So I'm very opposed, and I will continue to get people to sign the petition against it. But at least I would expect the city to have compassion on us and do a traffic study and a CEQA analysis. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So with that, does someone want to make a motion for what we're seeing?
Think of how we would phrase it.
Well, it's just, it's here for preliminary, so it would be giving it preliminary approval.
I would move that we accept the project for preliminary approval subject to staff findings and with encouragement that the applicant would consider adding some landscaping as discussed along the front wall.
Perfect. How about a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Roll call, Linda.
Member DeGasis.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member King.
Aye.
Chair Branch.
Aye. All right. You guys are off to Planning Commission, and I guess we'll see you after that, I would assume. So
thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Okay. That will take us to, I believe, our last item, item C2.
Item C2 is preliminary review. It's the Patterson and Associates two new buildings and associated improvements located at 5385 and 5383 Hollister Avenue, APN 071-140-075 and APN 071-140-074, case numbers 20-0003-DP et al.
Very good. And site visits, Jonathan?
Site visit and no ex parte conversations.
Okay. Martha?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Jim?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Virtual site visit, no ex parte for me. Daryl, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Branch and members of the DRB. Good to see everyone. The DRB last saw this project on August 24th, 2021. The applicant's proposing two new buildings. You'll see here at the aerial, the existing site. So this is considered existing Lot B. The applicant's proposing to keep the seven existing buildings. Then to the south of those buildings on what would be a new lot, they would build a 14,000 square foot office building. And then to the south of that on the vacant portion of the lot, they'd build a 34,000 square foot R&D building. And that building would be inhabited by Seymour Duncan, a local Goleta company that makes guitar pickups. Additionally, a part of this project, the applicant's proposing to the lot to the north adjacent to Hollister Avenue, some minor parking lot and landscape changes. That project has to be included with the two new buildings for parking, for shared parking agreements. So that's why that project is involved. And you may recall on August 24th of last year that the DRB generally had very positive comments. They did have some comments that they wanted the applicant to clarify. And the applicant has submitted a response to DRB comments. They were included in your attachments, and the applicant will be commenting and responding to those very shortly. Additionally, there will be some public improvements done on this project, some on South Patterson Avenue, as well as the public right-of-way Equal Street on the southern portion of the lot. And let's see. So today the DRB is giving a recommendation to the Planning Commission for preliminary review. And once the DRB makes a recommendation, we'll go to Planning Commission. And at that time, if the project is approved by Planning Commission, it'll be returned to the DRB for final review. And that's where the applicant and the review board can kind of finalize any last details. We do have the applicant team here today. Heidi Jones and her team are here. And David, if you're there, if you could allow Heidi to present and share her screen, that'd be appreciated. And DRB, please let me know if you have any questions. I do want to say lastly that we did receive some comments regarding lighting. They weren't submitted as public comments, but just to staff. Regarding lighting, there is a couple lights, and I'll let the applicant go into this in detail, specifically wall-mounted lights that are above the height requirement. So the height requirement for wall-mounted lights are 12 feet. There is potentially one or two that are above that, but I'll let the applicant explain why that is. With that, I'll hand it over to Heidi Jones.
Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the DRB. Heidi Jones with SEPS. We're grateful to be back in front of you today to go over the project. While it's not necessarily complex, there are a lot of pieces to it. So we're going to start by just going through project plans to specifically address the prior comments that we heard from you. We'll speak to those first, and then I can run through each parcel's full plan set because we're at this preliminary review stage. I'll run through some photometrics. We'll try to make that as concise as possible and then be available for your questions. So right now I'm gonna pass it on to Andrew Bermant, who will do a screen share and run through those topics that I mentioned, and then we'll pick it up from there. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Andrew Bermant. And I don't know if you're seeing my picture or not of me, but I'll wave to say hello.
We see you, but not your screen, if your screen share.
Okay. So now I'm going to do a screen share. Hopefully, I'm going to do a screen share. Bear with me for just a second here. It's asking for authentication, which I thought I had done before. I will have to rejoin in just a minute. I'm sorry. It will reopen in just a moment.
Did he have to pick all the sidewalks in the view for all the fire hydrants or something?
I'm not sure. I just had some computer troubles this morning. So hopefully he'll jump right back in. So while we're waiting for him, I can kind of run through some basics with my screen share. Hopefully you can see this.
We can see that.
Okay, so I'm trying to, oh, wrong screen. Sorry, I've got three screens going on and, you know, I like to keep it complicated. So as we move forward, we kind of refer to these parcels as parcels A, B, C, and D. Existing parcel A has that SCD component that's really just parking lot improvements to accommodate compact parking spaces, motorcycle parking, bicycle parking, et cetera. That's that SCD that Daryl mentioned. Because of the relationship with all of the reciprocal parking access agreements, it needs to go as part of the Planning Commission project. This is the existing rear parcel. This is what we call parcel B. No proposed improvements other than, again, parking lot spaces, motorcycle spaces, bicycle spaces, trash enclosure, landscaping, shading. We do have some retrofit of some existing wall-mounted light fixtures, which I can speak to shortly, that are located at 12 feet 5 inches. Those are higher wattage and not dark side compliant right now, but those will be mounted with 3000 Kelvin downward facing fixtures at that height. Parcel C is the new office building and parcel D is the new Seymour Duncan building. So when we refer to A, B, C, and D, that's what we're talking about.
Heidi, I'm back when you're ready.
Okay, great. There you go.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Okay. It's good to share.
Got it.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. I had computer crashed last week, so had a reboot. So we want to just quickly, first of all, thank you for the time and attention that you're giving to us, Chair Branch, and members of the DRB. We appreciate it. We also appreciate your previous comments. Our goal is to make the project something that the community will appreciate and use for a good high standard of development in the future. I wanted to just quickly run through your comments. I will hand it off to Aaron O'Carroll to handle the landscaping comments, and I will hand it off to Brian Poliquin to handle the architectural comments. But just going through our response letter, I've highlighted the areas where we attempted to respond to your concerns or questions. One of the first items was to discuss the faux finishes. Brian will address that toward the end of our presentation here. With respect to the heat island effect, we've combined the three parcels into one plan here on the left that you can see, where we show you the amount of shading on the project over time. And this shading exceeds, on the right, you'll see our table over here, each parcel exceeds the 50% requirement under Section 1738.110J1. And so the project in total exceeds the city's requirement for project shading. So we believe we've addressed that concern. Another concern was making sure that the movement of people through the parking area, that it wasn't too hot for people. Frankly, I think people are going to be trying to find places at this point where they can get some sunshine in the parking lot. But as you can see again from this plan, There's a very large amount of shading that occurs in the parking lot on all three parcels. This is a merged version of the new landscaping that's proposed on parcel C at the top and parcel D at the bottom. And in this plan here, which I'll blow up because I couldn't figure out how to get it any bigger, here I've indicated the walking paths for pedestrians. And what you'll see is that a lot of the walking paths are under trees and are through shading and through a nice landscaped area, taking you from to the fronts of the buildings, to the rear, to the adjacent property, to the north, as well as through the parking lot. And here we've added some trees to, again, provide additional shading in this area, while at the same time leaving some areas open because some people do like to park in the sun and have a nice warm car to get into, particularly in the winter. So we've tried to address that issue. There was some discussion about having a small trail on the side of the parking lot areas that's shaded so people don't have to walk through the parking lot. First, we just want to address the Moore Road private easement. This easement is used by Cottage Hospital, so we don't intend to have people walking on that easement. It's a driveway that the hospital is using. So it's not intended for people to be walking on the back side of the landscaping. Our goal is to provide a safe place for people to walk, and that's really through the project on concrete sidewalks, as well as through this DG path. We also have DG paths around the Seymour Duncan building that you can see here that wraps around to the west. We don't have the space along the west side of the property for a DG path. This is only about 5 feet wide and there's a hedge in there. We don't want to remove green. That's better for the environment. So, we think that the pedestrian walkways are well covered. I think pedestrians will be very comfortable here. We've made these connections for people to slow down traffic, put in crosswalks, and make it a pedestrian friendly facility. Moving on to number 12 here, there was some discussion about some solar shade structures or trees along the pedestrian pathway. At this time, we're not proposing any solar. That's not to say that it may not be proposed in the future, but at this point in time, we're not proposing it. Again, we've incorporated the Cape Myrtle and the strawberry trees as part of the project for shading along that walkway. Question came up about the EV electrical vehicle parking. So I created an exhibit here that just kind of lays it out for you. Each parcel is separately parked with electric vehicle parking. There's electrical vehicle parking that will be located here on the GRC building or the AT&T building now, parcel A. There will be parking that's spread out, EV parking that's spread out on parcel B, as well as EV parking on parcel C and EV parking on parcel D. Each parcel stands alone and meets or exceeds the city's requirement for electric vehicle parking, including the part, a parcel that basically is just being slightly modified to incorporate parking improvements as part of a shared parking agreement among all four properties. The last item I'll address right now is that the Planning Commission or the DRB had made some comment about bike paths or bike travel. And so we worked with the Public Works in the city and worked with them on the design for Patterson Avenue. And so this design is consistent with what the city's requirements are for a bike path that currently runs along Patterson Avenue and merges, but it continues It will merge with the right turn lane and continue through to basically a bike lane that is south of Eckwell Street, that is not in the city's purview. So this intersection here has been designed to be in conformity with the existing intersection and with the city's goals with regard to this intersection and moving movements. The road along Eckwell is being widened again per the city standards, which includes the right for bicycles. I guess it's a class 2 bike lane through there. And so now I'll turn it over to Aaron just to address the comment with regard to the myrtle trees, the strawberry.
Yeah.
Strawberry trees, right?
I believe Martha was concerned with the mess that the strawberry tree produces, and there's fruit drop from those. There's only 4 standard form arbutus in the parking lot and 1 multi. We also have Brisbane box in the parking lot, as well as crepe myrtles. So we've got a variety of trees in the parking lot. And Kathy Duncan, the client at Parcel D, really likes the strawberry tree, so we'd like to stick with it if possible.
And we're used to, the project is used to, the tree debris, the blossoms falling. There are times, Aaron, what's the name of the yellow blossom tree that we have? The tree that blossoms with the yellow and the...
Parcel A actually has a forest of tipu trees.
Exactly.
Plenty of shade on that side.
They're beautiful. When the yellow flowers drop, it looks like a yellow snowfield. And it gets, the parking lot is swept, so eventually it's swept away, unfortunately, but my brother hates it, I love it, but that's the way it is. And then I'll turn this over now to Brian to discuss the comments, the faux finishes, as well as there was a comment that the lobby entrance in the northeast corner of the Seymour Duncanville, that there is no public entry from the walkway to the street along the symmetrical building entry facing Patterson Avenue. So I'll let Brian talk about the changes that he made to the elevation of the building. Brian, it's all yours.
Okay. Hi, all. Anyway, good to be here. So as far as there was a comment about the faux material, there's only one that we were proposing, and that was we wanted to use a Core 10 finish on they're sort of like anchors on the front and rear of the building. And we were proposing using a faux Core 10, which we've had good success with that on. We did a Kaiser building where we had a tall architectural feature wall where we used Core 10, but we didn't use the real material. And the reason why was because people rub up against it. It weeps, it gets dirty. We also can't totally control the color on it. But in this case, we have a group that actually does a faux finish on these, and they do a very fine job. It's a very permanent finish that, really duplicates the faux finish. And also it's clean, it doesn't weep. Obviously, I like Core 10, we like the material, it's just it does weep. And because we're using it near the entry, we would find it being problematic because people would rub up against it. That was that. And then as far as there were a few design changes on the bit, well, let me go to one other thing. There was also a comment about the front entry or the entry facing Patterson. The entry over Patterson, which is not an entry. So what we did is we lengthened that whole wall element. So we have 2 smaller windows with awnings over them, and then a longer element with an eyebrow over it, as opposed to a shorter element that sort of alluded to entry. I think some people felt that it felt too much like an entry. And so we changed that. And we made it a longer wall. The lower walls have a railing over it. The higher wall actually is going to have a countertop so people can work outside on the upper deck on their computers. outside the office area. So the office area is featured by this whole Core 10 surround that goes around that area. And there's some trellises to help block sun in the morning. When it gets too, you know, with the lower sun, it gets real brilliant. I've had that problem in my office. So we've tried to solve these problems with the elevation. But this element is supposed to really feature the front end of the building, which will have offices. They have a little area there for sampling all the pickups and also having artists test out the different gear. So that was something that we did do. So the idea there was not focus on that front wall as being an entry, but it's just part of the front wall. It does go up and down to create some movement, but it's not the entry to the building. The entry is on the north side on that upper corner. It's there. We did enhance the awning over that entry. It's blocked out by trees, which will be there because we did place the trees in the rendering where the trees will be. But we did create an awning element there to enhance that, basically identify that is an entry. Other little changes to the building. We extended the windows down along the body of the building. The reason why we did that is because Seymour Duncan had asked us to provide more light, and they also wanted to have a little bit of a nod to their original building, which also used the tall horizontal windows. And they wanted a substantial bit of wall area in between each window. So we increased the amount of windows on the building. We did the vertical windows where we could. They do have a small little green metal surround, a little shade structure around them to give them a little added detail. But we extended them to, again, be a nod to the original Seymour Duncan building and also to provide more light, which is the main reason for doing that. We also provided awnings over the truck well. That was a request by them to have some shade and have some weather protection in that area. You can also see on both the north elevation and the south elevations, the windows are lengthened. The only place we didn't lengthen them is over that exterior stair from their employee patio, because obviously didn't make a lot of sense to do that. There were some comments about the building will be solar ready on the roof, and we'll have electric long-term bicycle parking spaces as well. So those items will be provided. So if you have any other questions, again, the rest of the materials are pretty true to form. We have a little bit of stone on either side of the long front wall. The rest of the building is concrete, painted. There are some metal articulated details, some solar trellises, vertical trellises. Those are all real material. There's no faux going on there, so.
Good. Thank you, Brian. So, yeah, go ahead, Heidi.
I'm gonna chime in. Since we had and produced that rendering for Site C, we might wanna show that as well. Yeah. Also, Mr. Poliquin, I believe I spy your car in that rendering. Is that true?
I have a Tesla, a white Tesla.
Oh, maybe it was your old one.
But
Heidi, if you have Site C renderings, do you want to show those? Because I just don't happen to have them handy. I mean, I have them. I can go feel through the DRB through the agenda, but maybe you have them handy.
I do.
Here it is.
There it is.
There it is.
Site C is complementary.
Yeah.
It does use also a Core 10 wall element, trellis. It's really clean building. This may either be done in concrete or it may be done with a stucco finish with reveals. But again, it ties together with the other building. It does have the vertical windows, does have the Core 10 feature wall, some movement with some other architectural walls, but very simple. It also is a nod to the original, I guess it's Site B, those buildings, even though those buildings are much older, there is a little bit of a nod to trying to stay in the same sort of architectural language as the rest of the park and not try to make it too different from everything else. So it's a clean, subtle building. I think it has nice lines. It'll be a great office space.
Thank you, Brian.
Great.
Heidi, it's all yours. Heidi, go ahead and finish it.
Okay, great. So I did want to mention a couple things here. We noticed that for some reason through the plan review, there's a little bit of discrepancy between what was uploaded online and what we submitted. We don't think that there are any major inconsistencies, with the exception of those elevation changes that Brian went over specific to address your comments. And then I wanted to just start with the photo metrics before I run through the other site plans. We do have all of our spec sheets, material boards, bicycle locker details, which you saw our first round. If you want to see them, I'm happy to share. But I wanted to talk about lighting. We did some outreach with our lovely community member, Miss Cecilia Brown, who's very interested in lighting. And through that, we made some adjustments to our plans, which I think are all great. So I just wanted to share, you know, existing parcel B, this is all existing and developed. There's existing parking lot lights that had a higher wattage of, I guess it's wattage, 4,000 Kelvin bulb. So we're replacing those with 3,000, and those will all be downward facing lights. This building here is the building that has the ones that are slightly over height. They're at 12 feet, 5 inches. So that's 5 inches over. We are proposing to retrofit those with new wall mounted fixtures that are at a lower temperature and downward facing. Other than that, no other changes to that site. Parcel C and D, all of the new proposed parking lot lighting will be 20 foot poles, downward facing, night sky compliant. 3,000 K, all of our candles, we don't cross, you know, property lines with our footprints beyond the interior relationships, but all on the parameters, we don't have the candle that exceeds that area. Real quickly, I'll run through our proposed cut sheets.
One thing I'll just note is that on parcel C right now, there are two poles that are double-headed poles overlooking the parking. Those light fixtures, if I recall, are the sodium. I'm not sure what they are.
High pressure sodium.
Yes, mm-hmm. High pressure sodium. Very bright. Not dark sky compliant by any stretch of the imagination. So in talking with Cecilia, I promised her that we would go ahead and we would modify those lights right now. We'll do the same thing with the wall packs. We'll go ahead and make the modifications now to change out the wall packs, as well as those high pressure sodium light fixtures in that parking lot, so that they are dark sky compliant right now. And that's something that we can do at this particular moment in time.
Great. Okay, so I'm just gonna quickly run through the other site plans as a reminder of what's going on with each site, and we'll open it up for your questions. We'll try to be concise. So existing parcel B, configuration, uses, elevations. Again, these are all existing buildings. Not a lot of changes here except for landscaping, lighting, shading, parking configuration to provide long-term, short-term bicycle spaces, etc. So that is B. Site C is the new office building, so subdivision. New office building, trash enclosure, went through the renderings, photometric plans, landscaping. This kind of is just like the perfect infill development to build out the rest of this configuration of this lot that we have here. So we think that it's a great project that makes sense. Let's see here, one more. And parcel D, the new Seymour Duncan building. Just running through the same basic information, site improvements, et cetera. Landscaping, And then we do have the associated public improvements that it would be for Patterson and Eckwell that Andrew mentioned that we work closely with City Public Works to develop and detail per their city standards. So with that, again, we have additional information and materials. If you want to see them, we're happy to share and we welcome your questions.
Terrific. All right. Let me see. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. All right, perfect. Well, with that, let's go to questions. If anybody's got them, I'll start with you, Jim.
I have a couple of questions. Okay. What will the total number of people, employees working in this building be, and how many visitors do you expect on a daily or weekly basis to these buildings?
Mr. King, I can pull up that information for what our anticipated number of employees is for the new Seymour Duncan building. They don't typically have visitors, is my understanding, other than, you know, some guest musicians that come to test out things, but it's not open to the public. The proposed office building, of course, a tenant is to be determined, and we provide all the required parking for that. So if you give me a minute, I can look up what we expected for the Seymour Duncan employee count.
What are the total number of parking spaces that you've included in this project?
655 total parking spaces are included for all four properties. It meets the code requirement, and the parking is under a shared parking agreement that's recorded on the property.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jonathan?
No questions or comments.
Martha?
I have no question, and my comments are, I think it's beautifully landscaped. The buildings are very attractive. I think the use of the faux Corten is a good move. And that's about all I have. I like the new light fixtures. And I, as an aside, would like to congratulate Mr. Vermant on the way that he takes good care of those Tipuana trees in his existing building. It's really an effort that's well worth it. So that's a little bit of an aside, but I think the landscape will be well maintained here considering how the other property is maintained.
Thank you.
Let's see. Linda, do we have any public comment?
Mr. Branch, I want to just jump in real quickly before we go to public comment to follow up on that question that was asked. So it's anticipated, the Seymour Duncan would have about 102 employees. They do have, you know, about 85% full-time, 15% part-time, and they're, you know, especially with the current day and age of flexible work schedules, they do have a certain percentage which work remotely or work from home. So there's that information.
Thank you, Heidi.
And Chair Branch, if I could just briefly circle back on the lighting. So, you know, per the ordinance, wall-mounted lights can exceed 12 feet in height. However, the DRB is the review authority to approve wall-mounted heights higher than that, based on, you know, safety or security reasons. So I just wanted to let the board know.
Thank you. Thank you. So Linda, public comment?
Yes, would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the raise hand icon now? And we do have Cecilia Brown wants to speak.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and DRB members, and Ms. Jones and Mr. Bremant. I think, as some of you know, my interest in lighting. And I greatly appreciate Ms. Jones and Mr. Vermant reaching out to me to discuss these issues and to accepting my suggestion, my recommendation of lowering the the correlated color temperature, which is the Kelvin of the light from 4,000 to 3,000. This is really, these lights are a slight difference, but the difference is positive for the lower Kelvin because they're a little more environmentally friendly, human friendly, and dark sky friendly. So I think this was a great change, and I'm really most grateful that you've done it. I think it's fabulous. I think many times projects are overlighted, so, but this will be a nice lighting for those of you who live in the city. The LED street lights that have been in place for about 6 months are 2700 Kelvin, so they'll be a little bit brighter than those, so it should be a very good fit. I just really did want to thank both Heidi and Andrew. Heidi sent me a lot of information, very helpful. It wasn't on the internet, so I got to see that. It's a lovely project. I did a site visit myself down there, and how nice that we get rid of those two HPS lights on the old parking lot lights. So that's really a benefit, and thank you, Andrew, for doing that. So best wishes to the applicant and team and to all of the members and for all what you do. Thank you so much.
Great.
Does anyone else want to speak at this time? Please click on the raise hand icon now. And no, Chair Branch, there's no one else.
Okay. Jim, you asked questions, but you didn't give any comments. Do you have any comments?
No, I have no comments.
Okay. I don't have any questions. My comment is I think this is a really nice project, and this is a really important project for guitarists, and I applaud that. And I think it's going to be nice. I think it's completely very well executed and designed. And I think this is going to be a really nice project in the city. So I think it's clear you've got the board's full support on it. So let's see, you're here for preliminary. So let's see, someone want to make a motion for that, and then after that, it's Planning Commission, and then I guess back to us, if I understand correctly. So, how about a motion?
Motion for approval of the project as presented for preliminary design approval with the staff findings.
Perfect. And a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All right, can we have roll call?
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Very good. Very good. And we look forward to seeing it come back. Good luck at Planning Commission.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much. We appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That will take us to announcements by members and staff, and I would just like to say that on behalf of the board, we appreciate Craig Schallenberger, who was on the board for many years and had to resign because he moved to San Ynez, and therefore he's not a city resident anymore. And he was an at-large member, and so he's not able to be on the board anymore. So he was, his contributions will be sorely missed. He did a great job. And so, you know, on behalf of the board of the city, here's a tip of the hat to Craig and for greener pastures for him. So anybody else have any comments or maybe announcements? Martha?
A brief announcement. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Main Big Farmhouse, which is located on Hollister Avenue at San Marcos Road. They're having an open house from 11 to 2 on Saturday. It's a 1911 Craftsman building.
Oh, wow.
And was actually the site of of pretty large property that is swallowed by subdivisions at this point, but they're going to have a little open house. They have a lot of nice trees, and it's just fun to tour the house and see it's completely intact inside and the beautiful woodwork, and just have a poke around for a little neighborhood visit there. So again, San Marcos Road at Hollister, and probably park on San Marcos Road or in the adjacent neighborhood and drift on in. It's a pretty neat little situation there.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Well, then with that, we are adjourned, and thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next time.
I'm gonna go fishing and catch me a trout. If a man